Letter, chapter 3, beginning at verse 4 and reading through verse 9. And the subject is count all things loss. Let's read beginning at verse 4. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. But indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. As you begin to read these few verses, I think you can hear the teaching of Christ in the book of Luke and chapter 14 and about verse 28. When Jesus Christ was teaching the people about a man building a tower, and said before the man would build the tower that he would consider the cost. And I believe that that is exactly what Paul is presenting here. And that is that before a man becomes a child of God, and before you make your commitment to Jesus Christ, that you need to remember the cost. It just may be in my preaching and in the preaching of others that we have really not put up on the heart of men and women what they need to give up, and what they need to consider loss, and that which they need to consider gain in religion. Because in the world in which we live, we have such a wrong concept of gain, loss, and profit. And I believe that we need to look at it from a spiritual standpoint. And I believe that in the Philippian letter, when the Apostle Paul talks about loss and talks about gain, that he's talking about these things in regard to spiritual matters. And I'd like for us to take into consideration the thing that the Apostle Paul is dealing with. The first thing in our study, I want you to notice some of the things that he said that I have come to the conclusion that they mean nothing. In other words, I have reached the conclusion that these things have no meaning whatsoever. I want you to look at them very carefully. Sometimes I think we might read these things and do not give the attention to them that we should. The Apostle Paul is comparing himself in days gone by as being a Jew. The Judaizer teachers were coming down and they were talking about how strong they were. And Paul said, if I wanted to boast some, which I consider foolishness, I want you Judaizing teachers and I want you people that are inclined to go and listen to what they've got to say and maybe be inclined to leave the faith of God and follow their particular doctrine, I want you to understand some things that I gave up when I left that particular part. In your Bibles, begin reading with me at verse 5 when he said, circumcised the eighth day. If you read in the book of Genesis chapter 17 and verse 12, this was a covenant that God made with Abraham when he said that a child 8 days old, the male child, was to be circumcised. And when Paul said that I was circumcised the eighth day, that meant that I was a genuine Jew. In other words, I was a genuine male child Jew circumcised on the eighth day in relationship to the covenant that God gave unto Abraham. Now, this was something that a lot of the Judaizing teachers might be able to say. Paul said, if they say they have something to boast of, I the much more. But listen to him again. He said, of the stock of Israel. And I believe that's referring to the fact that he said, I'm not a proselyte. In other words, I can go back to the stock of Jacob. I came from Israel. I am of the stock of Israel. How many of the Judaizing teachers can make that claim? He said, I was circumcised on the eighth day. I am of the stock of Israel. I am a genuine, I was a pure Jew at that particular time. And then he said, of the tribe of Benjamin. Benjamin's one of the outstanding tribes of the people of God. Benjamin and Judah made up the southern tribe after the northern tribe had been carried into captivity. And Paul said, I was of the tribe of Benjamin, again emphasizing something that he had to boast about, considering being a Jew. And then after he made that statement, he said, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He said, both of my parents were related to God in this manner. Both of them were Hebrews. And therefore, Paul said, I'm even to stand up and boast about the fact that both of my parents were of the Hebrew. I'm going to tell you, this man had something to boast about as far as the Jewish religion was concerned. And then he said, concerning the law, a Pharisee. Underscore that, a Pharisee. The Pharisee were a group of people that lived by the strictest sect, as he said in Acts chapter 26. When he was defending himself, he said, I lived out the strictest sect of the Pharisees. The Pharisees believed in a resurrection beyond the grave, and he said, I am of that sect. I belong to the Pharisee. According to the law, that's what I was. Paul was not ashamed of it. At that time, he said, that's what I was. He said, now if I wanted to boast about some things, he said, I want to tell you one thing. I was a pure Jew. Even my forefathers were Jew, and he said, I lived a Pharisee concerning the law. But he said, let me tell you something else. I didn't go into that half-heartedly. When he was a Pharisee, and when he lived of the Jewish religion, my friend, he put everything he had into it, and he wanted them to know that he was doing it. Look what he said. Concerning zeal, look at that word zeal. He said, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Oh, no, my friend. He should not have been persecuting the church, but he thought he was doing right. And when he was a Pharisee, he just didn't have his name down as a Pharisee. I mean, my friend, he put his heart into it. He did everything he could to promote the doctrine of the Pharisees of that time, even to being in stiff opposition to the church of the living God of Jesus Christ. Then notice what he said. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Look at that word, blameless. Paul didn't say that he was sinless, but he said, I've done all the things of the moral right to make these things right, and I am blameless. In other words, Paul is saying, I've kept the law. In regard to the morals and the sacrifices, I've done these things, and I am blameless. Not one of the Judaizing teachers can accuse me of that. He said, I am blameless. I'm going to tell you, this man had a lot to boast about in regard to these things. And now then Paul said in verse 7, I have counted loss. He said, I want to tell you one thing. I had these things to brag about one time. I had these things to boast about. And he said, if you want to look at it from one standpoint, they brought me a lot of gain in one way. But he said, I didn't have the trouble that I've got now. But he said, when I looked at all of it, he said, I count every bit of that loss. I put that on this side of the ledger. He said, I want you to understand that it is no good. Now, Paul, I want to ask you a question. Why did you call it loss? Why did you say, I count all that loss? Why would a man go back and say that all the religious training that he had and all the gain that he had made by being a Pharisee, why would a man say, I consider that loss? I'll tell you one reason why. Look at your Bible carefully. In verse 7, he said, I have counted loss for Christ. Underscore Christ. Brother Earnhardt and Brother Adam both throughout this week have been talking about Christ. And they've been emphasizing the fact that we need to keep Christ on our mind. And Paul said, when I looked at Jesus Christ on one side and I looked at these things on the other side, and I saw that I had to give up these things in order that I might be with Christ, he said these things meant nothing. You know why, my friend? Because he had a knowledge of the Son of the living God. You know what I believe? I believe in what I've just read to you is one of the strongest arguments on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You know, in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 8, Paul talking about Christ appearing to men,
And he said that he appeared to me last of all. I was the last one to see him after he'd been resurrected from the dead. And I want to tell you something. If Paul was not right, I don't believe he would have ever given up being a Jew. I don't believe he would have ever gone through being put in jail in Philippi, carried to Rome, tied to guards day in and day out, and never have any privacy. I want to tell you something, my friend. That man believed and knew and understood that Jesus Christ had been raised from the dead. And he said, when I saw the Lord on the road to Damascus and what it means to belong to Christ, he said, every bit of that meant nothing to me. It did not mean one thing. I counted all that loss that I might gain Christ. Notice how he expressed that again. In verse 8, that I may gain Christ. I believe that that carries with the idea that he had to have the knowledge of Christ. He had to understand what he had to do to be saved. And Paul said, when I had the proper view of Jesus Christ, he said all these things meant nothing to me. And I turned aside and I counted them lost. I put Christ on one side and these on the other side. And these all in the plural meant nothing compared to the singular Christ. And that's what we're trying to get people to see. We're trying to get people to see Christ on one thing and these other things on the other side. And when you get the proper view of Jesus Christ, these things you'll consider loss on that side. But now I want to tell you something else that's involved in it. He didn't want to say that I consider it loss now at that time. He said, I want to tell you something, I still consider it loss. You know, in the Philippian letter, he uses that word count or counted three times. And I think he had in mind that when I considered Christ in the beginning, I considered all these things lost. Well, now, Paul, I want to ask you a question. After you have tried Christianity, after you have tried belonging to Jesus Christ, is it worth it? He said, I want to tell you something. It's still worth it. I still consider it loss. You know, we like something that a man has tried out. I think all of us can see that by advertisement on the radio and television. They'll come out with something, and this fellow said, well, now, I've tried it. And when we look at that man that's tried it, then we're kind of more or less enticed to go buy it because we say, well, now, that's been a tried product. And many times when I'm having car trouble of some kind, I've got a good friend that's a mechanic, and I go to him, and when he says, well, now, I've tried this brand, and this brand works, as a rule, I go by what he said because I appreciate the fact that he's tried it out. And Paul said, I want to tell you one thing. In my experience of serving Christ, I still consider every bit of that worthless. Notice what he said. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ in verse 8. And I think he's talking about their experience of knowing Christ. Not just the fact that he was baptized, but after he was baptized into Christ and the experiences he had, I still consider these things lost. In serving God, I still believe in it. Paul, you mean to tell me that in the book of Acts in chapter 16 and verse 23, when they put those stripes on your back, and they put you in that dungeon, you mean to tell me, Paul, you still consider gain for Christ and these things lost? Well, my friend, that's the reason he was able to sing praises to God and pray in prison. I've often wondered how in the world could Paul and the other companion with him go into prison, be beaten with stripes, and then sing and pray. I'll tell you why. Because they realized what it was to gain Christ. They were experiencing the power of Jesus in their lives. You know what's wrong with most of us? We won't experience the power of Jesus when everything is going fine and when we don't have to give up anything. Paul said, I want to tell you one thing. I consider the excellency of the knowledge of Christ and what he means to me and what it means to be in Christ. I count that gain and everything else lost. Look at your Bibles again. In verse 9, and be found in him. You know, I looked at that statement before I completed my thoughts along this line. What does it mean to be found in him? And I read one scholar, and he said, well, now that means to be found in him in the judgment day. I think that's right.
I think it carries with it the idea that Paul said, when it comes to the end of time and I stand before God to be judged, I want to be found in Christ. I want to be found in the Son of God. I want to be able to go to heaven when I die, and I want to be found in Christ. And young men and young ladies, that ought to be the desire of every one of us. But I want to tell you something else. I think it has another meaning. I think what Paul is saying, that while I'm on earth, I want to be found in Christ. And I think maybe sometimes we miss that. I want to be found in Christ now. And I tell you what, I want my daughters to see Christ in me. Oh, I appreciated what Brother Earnhardt said this morning about the home life. And I've been so guilty of so many things, I could write a book and just fill many libraries with the mistakes I've made and the blunders I've made. But I tell you one thing, if I could get my daughters to understand that they could see Christ in me, that Robert Jackson found the Son of God in his life, and he gave up everything that he enjoyed that kept him away from Christ, and let them understand what Jesus means to me, it would influence their lives to have the same burning desire, I really believe. I not only want to be found in Jesus Christ in the judgment day, I want to be found in Christ now. I want to enjoy the blessings in Christ. I want to be able to sing and to pray. I want to go out and be able to even show compassion when somebody else is having problems. I want to weep with the one that weep and rejoice with the one that rejoice. I want to be a child of God. And I want to be found in Christ. I think maybe somewhere along the line we miss what it means to be found in Christ, not just in this church building. I don't want to be just found inside of four walls in Christ. I want to be found in Christ wherever I am. I want people to see Jesus in my life. I want to let people see that I am dedicated and committed to the Son of the living God. And I believe that's what the Apostle Paul is having in mind when he said that I count these things lost. I want to be found in him. But now look at verse 9 again. He said, when I'm found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. Now that's been brought out, but it doesn't hurt to bring it out again. One time Paul said he kept the law, was blameless, but notice how he changes now. He said, oh, I'm not right now because of my own works. Oh, no, my friend, Paul wasn't perfect. Paul realized that his righteousness and the thing that made him right with God and the thing that put him in Christ was the faith he had in Christ. And that faith that he had in Christ came through the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts in chapter 22, when Ananias came to Saul, he said, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And that man had to obey what God said. And when that man saw that in order to be baptized in the name of Christ, to have his sins washed away, in order that he might be found in Christ, he was baptized. But he never did say, I earned it. Boy, he's not like a Pharisee anymore. He's not parading around like the Judaizing teachers say, look at us. He's not walking around that holy attitude. He's saying, I want you to know I found Christ, but I found him through faith. I found him through the gospel. I found my Lord revealed in his word, and he said, I want to be found in him. We need to learn that. There are two things we need to learn. That in order to find Christ, I have to know his will. I can't know Christ without his will. But when I know what to do, I need to obey what he said. And if a man wants to be found in Christ, he will have his righteousness by faith. And that's the reason we need to speak the word of God, because faith comes by hearing the faith. In Galatians 1 and 23, Paul said, the faith I one time persecuted, I now preach. But now I want you to look at something else. Paul said, I gave all this up to be a Christian. Have you ever had to give up anything to be a Christian? I want to tell you what I found out.
I found out that among some of the people in the churches of Christ, they'll ask you to do one thing that they won't do themselves. Now, Paul wasn't that way. When Paul said, I suffered all things lost, and you should too, he didn't say, I'm telling you to do it. He said, I've done that. Have you done that? In Matthew 10:37, just read that very carefully. Jesus said, if any man loveth mother and father more than me, he's not worthy of me. Son or daughter more than me, he's not worthy of me. You know something? Before I was a member of the Church of Christ, I was brought up in the Methodist religion by people that you would say were God-fearing people in that sense. Good, moral people taught me a lot of morals. And I was dedicated to it. I thought I would live and die in that religion. And then all of a sudden I started going to hear a man preach, Brother Grover Stevens. I got a little upset some of the things he said. I didn't get upset at his attitude. I just got upset what he said. And after it's all over with, I got upset because what he said, I needed to apply to my life. And I knew what I needed to do to be saved, but I was still rebelling against God because I didn't want to dishonor my parents. And remember, the Church of Christ would come to me and they'd say, now, Robert, let me tell you something. Leave your mother and father religion. You can't do that and please God. Turn from them. And you know something? That was the hardest thing I ever had to do. I was the only child. To turn my back on the religion of my forefathers was not easy. But I had to do it in order that I might gain Christ. My father died 8 years ago out of Christ. And my mother still in denominationalism. But in the churches of Christ, I go around and I say, oh, why don't you give this up? Why don't you leave what your mother and father taught you if it was an error? I've had some of them that embraced institutionalism. They wouldn't let go of it in spite of anything because their parents identified with it. Why is it that in the Church of Christ we ask people to do something that we won't practice? It's not easy to turn your back on the religion of your forefathers. And a lot of people that's never been out there in that part of the world, they don't know the feelings of it. I don't care if the man is brought up in Catholicism or whatever it might be. When he's been brought up in that, then to tell that man to leave it, consider it loss. I've had people come up and say, Robert, have you ever been ashamed that you left the religion of your forefathers? No. I've regretted a lot of things that were said to me. The hurt. But no. Because I want Christ in my life. You know what I think's wrong, brethren? You know why I believe that many times we can't get along, we won't give up anything. What have you ever given up for Christ? I'm not talking about for your selfish goal, I'm talking about for Christ. I'll tell you one thing. If it wasn't for the preaching of Christ, I wouldn't be here. Paul Earnhardt wouldn't be here. Brother Adam wouldn't be here. Brother Stephen. Don't like to leave home. Don't like to leave these things. But you have to give them up sometime. That includes son or daughter. I've always told my daughters, put God first. Jesus also said in the book of Matthew in chapter 5 and verse 29, that if your eye offends you, cut it off. If your hand, cut it out. In other words, anything that will separate me from Christ, do away with it. Suffer that loss. Have you given up anything? I want you to take your Bible for just a moment, and I'll bring my lesson to a close. I want you to turn to the book of Genesis in chapter 22. And I want you to read this with me, and I want you to look at it carefully. Because sometimes I think we've heard it and we read it, but we just don't let it soak in like we should. Beginning at verse 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham. Well, he'd already tested Abraham before, we're going to test him again.
and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. He said, take now your son, underscore your son, your only son, Isaac, the son whom you love. Oh, I wish I had the time to talk about Isaac and Abraham. And God said, I want you to take him to the land of Moriah. I want you to offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I'll show thee. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and started out there to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. And you know, the divine word of God reveals unto us that he put him up on the altar and had the knife in his hand and ready to put it into the body of Isaac. You know what he was willing to do? He was willing to give up Isaac for God. I want to ask you one question. Whatever your Isaac is, would you give it up to please Christ? If you want to know what's wrong with most of us, we're just not willing to give up the things that are near and dear to us to gain Christ. And if you're out in the denominational world and you have things that mean a lot to you, I can understand how you feel. And I wouldn't say one thing to ridicule your belief. But if I could just ever get people in different religions to understand what it means to gain Christ, these things would be worthless rubbish. Because we're going to die and stand before the Christ that Paul said, that I may gain. If you're in this audience this morning and you never have accepted Jesus Christ by believing in him, repenting of your sins and being baptized as the Bible teaches in Acts 2:38, I'd like to beg and plead with you to do it. Whatever might be most precious to you, don't let it stand in the way of gaining Jesus Christ. While together we stand and sing, we cordially invite you.